This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's John Dobank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see johncast.net.
I'm here now with Dr. Claire Watt from the University of Reading, and she's presenting a poster on modelling charged moon dust. First of all, what's charged moon dust and why is it a problem?
So there's the lunar surface is covered in dust, and one of the things that the Apollo astronauts noticed is that the dust, whenever they went outside of the module, the landing module, the dust was getting everywhere. You know, as they walked across the surface, they were kicking up clouds of moon dust, as they were driving the moon buggy across the surface, they were noticing these huge plumes of dust coming up. Because the dust is sort of a few centimeters deep, and it's very, very fine. It's not like sand, it's much, much finer than that. And so one of the things I'm showing on the poster is a photograph of one of the astronauts who has been outside in a sort of walking along the surface. And after he's come back into the lander, he's covered in dust. His forehead is all smudged and you can see it all over his clothes. And so this is dust that has gotten through the spacesuit. And it was a real health hazard for the astronauts. They discovered that they were suffering from respiratory problems, with lots of eye irritations and nasal irritations, and it was all down to the dust. So it was a health hazard, but also it was a really bad mechanical hazard that they didn't foresee before they went onto the surface. All of this dust was getting into the bearings of their mechanical apparatus. It was a real problem for any filters, any pumps, anything that had to operate in a mechanical way was really being affected by the dust. And so they came back from the lunar surface and were telling NASA that essentially dust was one of the major engineering hazards for future missions to the moon. It was something they were really going to have to sort out.
So this dust was literally getting through their suits.
Exactly. Not only was it getting through their suits, but because the dust is very fine, it would become electrically charged. And so it would start clinging to their suits. They couldn't even brush it off. So because it's charged, you know, it would get on their suits, it would get on their visors, and they wouldn't be able to see properly. And for things like solar panels and other really key engineering equipment that they have on the moon, the dust was a real problem because it would immediately just cling to the surface. If you can imagine a solar panel covered in dust, it's not going to work as well. So this is a real engineering problem that they didn't foresee before they got there.
So is it just charged because of the people sort of moving around across the surface, or is it charged by some other mechanism?
So we believe that what's happening is because the moon has no atmosphere, it's essentially a rock out there in space with no protection. What was happening was the particles of the solar wind, the charged particles coming directly out of the sun, there was no protection from that. And so they were bombarding the surface, and that caused the particles to become charged. In addition, the sunlit surface of the moon, when it is hit by ultraviolet radiation, it gives off electrons. This was discovered by Einstein almost 100 years ago. So what was happening is that a combination of those two processes meant that the dust became charged. And as the dust moves around on the surface, it can become charged in different ways. And so as soon as the astronauts either walked across the surface or drove across the surface, they were kicking up this charged dust. And instead of falling directly down again, the dust was essentially levitating in the air because it was all charged and all of those charges were repelling one another. And so that kind of made the dust levitate above the surface. It wouldn't just be, you might kick up some dust and then it would immediately fall to the surface. You had this problem that they would kick up the dust and it would kind of hang around in a cloud for quite a while. And this would really impact the mechanical devices that they had, and also, you know, get everywhere all over their spacesuits and whatnot. So
predominantly this is caused by the photoelectric effects from...
Exactly, yes. When you do the sort of calculations to figure out what's the dominant effect, then yes, on the sunlit side of the moon, that really is what's dominating the charging. And so what's really interesting in terms of looking at these dust clouds and then how they might change on different points on the moon is that the sunlit side is going to be really different from the dark side. And so where you go from sunlight to darkness, what we call the terminator between the sun side and the dark side, it's thought that could be where you almost get dust storms, because the charging is so different on the sunlit side than it is on the dark side. And so this could, we're not sure about this, but there's certainly theories out there that suggest that what you would end up getting is almost a fountain effect, where dust would levitate on the sunlit side and then drop down in the night on the dark side. And so you would end up having almost dust storms with winds and stuff in the dust, which is kind of exciting.
Would this be on quite a small scale, or would it be on quite a massive scale?
A bit of both, actually. I think if it works in that way, it would happen on a small scale near craters, for example, because you would have a sunlit part and then a shadowed part at the wall of the crater. And so that could happen on a small scale, maybe over a few tens of meters. Towards the terminator on the lunar surface, then this process might happen over hundreds of kilometers. And so it's a really exciting area of the moon that we think has a huge effect on this dust weather, if you like, near the surface. And so being able to study that is going to be really important.
So you're essentially getting storms and kind of, like you said, dust weather without having an atmosphere.
Exactly. It's essentially what passes for weather on the moon. It's because there is no atmosphere, there's very, very little sort of neutral atoms present near the surface. Dust really is lunar weather, and so it's really interesting for us to look at how you would almost get weather systems because of the difference between the sunlit side and the dark side of the moon. So it's really interesting.
So you're going to be modeling it. How do you actually go about modeling something like that? Can you ever measure it?
Well, the interesting thing is that NASA have planned a mission to go measure some of the properties of the lunar dust, and it's going to be launched, fingers crossed, in September, and it's called the LADEE mission. It's Lunar Atmosphere and Dust Environment Explorer. They have an instrument on this orbiting lunar module where they're going to sample the dust directly. So they actually have an instrument that will measure how big the dust is, what the charges of the dust are for different heights above the surface. And that's going to give us so much more information than we have right now in order to try and look at where are the interesting places. You know, is this prediction that the difference between sunlit and dark side important for the dust weather, if you like? And so that mission is going to give us so much more information. And then we can look at our simulations and see what we're getting right and what we're getting wrong. But at the moment, the simulations are taking very idealized representations of the dust. So just very simplified, thinking of the dust as little spherical balls, if you like, and looking at the charging processes in a very simple way, but trying to use these very simple equations that we have learned from looking at the solar wind in interplanetary space and looking at how surfaces of, say, spacecraft and things behave in that plasma. So we take those equations that we know already and try and apply them to a natural surface like the moon's surface, add in the dust, and then see if we can make some predictions. So hopefully by the time the mission launches in September, we might actually have some predictions that we can test with the data.
Kind of ultimately, do you hope that by better understanding all this dust, it'll help missions to the moon?
Yes, definitely. One of the motivations for doing the science is to actually try and help people design instrumentation, to design landers, to design even spacesuits that could operate in the moon without posing a hazard to the humans that are on the moon. And so, or even suggesting which locations on the moon might be better than others. Perhaps it will turn out that craters afford some protection, or maybe they'll be a dangerous place to be. I don't know yet. But that kind of information can help us design missions, design the equipment to go on those missions to ensure that we can minimize all the risks to the equipment, but most importantly to the humans that are going to be going as astronauts. So it's exciting stuff.
Brilliant. Thank you.